Morning. Today's daf in Erevin is Zion. We are starting this morning on the bottom of Amun Beis, continuing our discussion from yesterday. We are going to go just a little bit over yesterday's daf so that we are firmly grounded and we can appreciate today, at least the beginning of this morning. We start off with a couple of pieces of information that we learned yesterday, and that is if you have a Rishos Rabim, Mamash Rishos Rabim, where it is 16 amas wide and it goes through the town from one end to the other, and according to Rashi, well, let's say it over like Rashi this morning, and you have 600,000 inhabitants in the city, so that you have now, you're looking at a Rishos HaRabim min HaTorah. Is there any way to adjust it to be able to carry in the Rishos HaRabim? And the answer is pretty much no. Now, what you can do, as the Gemara pointed out in yesterday's Gemara, is that, like, let's say, for example, Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim has a, not modern Yerushalayim, but let's assume a Yerushalayim that they were looking at back then. So it had a street walk going all the way through from one end to the other, and there were 600,000 people in the city of Yerushalayim. So it was a Rishos HaRabim. However, there was also a wall around the city of Yerushalayim, and where the door goes out on each end, there are gates or actual doors, and those doors are closed at night. So because those doors are closed on a nightly basis, so that removes the status of the Rishos HaRabim from the street, and that's the only thing that's going to remove the status. So the Gemara says that if something has the status of Rishos HaRabim, there really is no way to adjust, to make any kind of adjustment in order to change it from Rishos HaRabim to an area you're allowed to carry in. The only notable exception would be to actually have physical doors that are closed on a regular basis to remove the Rishos HaRabim status. Okay. And then the Gemara talked about adjusting a mavui mefulash versus a mavui sasam. What we learned yesterday, if you have a mavui mefulash, if you have a mavui that's opened up, both ends are opened up into Rishos HaRabim, so there it requires a significant adjustment in order to be able to carry in that mavui mefulash, a mavui that's open from one, opened on both ends. What do you have to do in order to be able to carry in that area? So that's a machlokus, which we're going to go over in just a moment, but that is a mavui mefulash. What about a mavui sasam? Mavui sasam was what we've been discussing since the beginning of the Masechta, and that is it, that it's only open on one end. It's closed on three sides, so that means to say it's a Rishos HaYachid min HaTorah. It happens to be opened up to a Rishos HaRabim, so that adjustment is what we've been discussing up until now, which is either putting a lechi or a korah, a vertical pole, a lechi, or a korah, a horizontal beam, going across its entrance. Good, that's what we've been discussing. So now let's go back to the mavui mefulash. If I have a mavui that's opened up from on both sides, both of them opened up into a Rishos HaRabim, so you have two streets basically running parallel to one another, and you have a mavui mefulash that is cutting from one street to the other street. So how do I adjust it? So we saw in yesterday's daf, that's a machlokes ha-tanayim. According to the Tanakhama, what you need to do, this goes back to the Braisa on the bottom of Vav Amud Aleph, which we saw yesterday. The Tanakhama's position is that you have to make a Tzuras HaPesach on one side, and a Korah and Lechi, Korah or a Lechi on the other side. According to Hananya, he says that's a machlokes between Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel. Beit Shammai says that you need a door on both sides, and not only that, but the door has to be closed, meaning Beit Shammai basically treats it like a Rishos HaRabim, whereas according to Beis Hillel, you have to make a door on one side and a Lechi and Korah on the other side. Does that door have to be closed? That was a Gemara's discussion that it had in yesterday's daf. Unclear whether it has to be closed or not. There were a couple of examples the Gemara gave, but it was unclear. The Gemara did not arrive at a solid conclusion, whereas according to the Shita of Beis Hillel, one has to actually have those doors closed anyway. So a significant adjustment has to be done to a mavui mefulash. That is point number one. That is just one general point of introduction going back from yesterday's daf. A second point is the following. Let's say I have a mavui akum. Let's say it's a bent mavui. It's not a straight mavui. It does eventually go out into two Rishos HaRabims, but it's on a bend. Yesterday we talked about two different types of mavuis that were on a bend. One was a L-shaped mavui. You go in, you make a 90-degree turn, and you come out on another street. So that is one kind of mavui akum. On the Amud Beis of yesterday's Gemara, we talked about a U-shaped mavui, where you go in, you make two left-hand turns or two right-hand turns, and you come out into the same street. And this is what's called an halacha mavui akum. What is its status? Is its status going to be a mavui mefulash, or is it going to be a mavui sasam? The way we explained it yesterday is basically, how do I look at it? Do I look at it as one long mavui? It just happens to be that it's not straight. It makes a couple terms. Or do I look at it as two mavuis that kind of back up one into another? Good. So that was a machlokus, and we saw yesterday between Rav and Shmuel. Rav was of the position that a mavui akum is going to be treated like mefulash. It's going to be given the status of a mavui mefulash, And Shmuel is of the position that no, that a Mavui Akum is not treated like a Mavui Mufulus, but rather it's treated like a Mavui Sosim. Obviously, the difference between those two positions is going to be how to adjust. According to Rav, the way you're going to adjust it is the way you're going to be adjusting a Mavui Mufulash. Whereas according to Shmuel, no need. Meaning according to Shmuel, because he views it as a Mavui Sosim, it only needs the minor adjustment that we've been discussing, which is either a Lechi or a Korah, and that would be sufficient. Obviously, you would need to adjust both of them, both mavuis that kind of back up one into another, but it's a minor adjustment, not a major adjustment. Okay. And all that now brings us to almost where we're up to right now in the Gemara, and one more piece of information from yesterday's Gemara, and that is the mavui of Naharda. There was a mavui of Naharda that was U-shaped. So in other words, it was a mavui akum, and Chachmei Naharda and the principal Chachamim of the town of Naharda, so they insisted on the following. First of all, they said that they were going to treat it like a mavui mafulash, meaning like that of the position of Rav. In terms of how to adjust it, so they demanded that doors go in terms of making sure that it would be adjusted properly, meaning the paskin like Chananya, which goes according to the Shita of Beis Hillel. So in one regard, they paskin like Rav that the mavui is going to be treated like a mavui mafulash. On the other hand, they also paskin that you're going to have to use a significant adjustment for this mavui, i.e. doors, and not just the Tzuras HaPesach. Now, all that led us to the problem, which we're going to reintroduce and reopen. In fact, we're going to see it inside the Gemara. Let's start off in the Gemara where we covered this already yesterday, but let's just pick it up again. Hawi mavui akum dahava benaharda. So we are starting in the Gemara. It is about halfway down, more than halfway down, on Vav Amud Beis. And about three, four lines before the lines start getting wide. So there was this mavui, a bent mavui, again, U-shaped, the way Rashi describes it, in the town of Naharda, and Rami Allah, Chumra Dorav, Chumra Deshmol, and they imposed multiple Chumras on it, the Chumra Rav and the Chumra Shmol. Number one, the Chumra Rav, in that we're going to be treated like a mavui mefulash. Number two, the Chumra Shmol, meaning, and how do I adjust it? I'm going to be adjusting it using doors and not just the Tzuras HaPesach. And in terms of the adjustment of a mavui mefulash, I'm not sure if I made this clear. So as I did clarify, it was a machlokus between the Tanakama and Chananya. How do we paskin? That's a machlokus between Rav and Shmuel. Rav goes like the more lenient position. Shmuel goes like the more strict position. Rav only requires the Tzuras HaPesach. Shmuel requires Delasus. He actually requires physical doors. Now with that stated, now you understand that this Mavui in Naharda, so in terms of whether to judge like a Mavui Mefulash, they went like Rav's position, which is a more Chumra position. In terms of how to adjust it, so they went like Shmuel, which is a more Chumra position. So they basically followed Chumras. And therefore, it's Rechud Delasos, the required doors for the adjustment of this Mavui. With that stated, we are now entered into a problem, a significant problem, which is, basically what we're doing over here is we're being not consistent, or let's say better, we're being inconsistent in terms of who we're following. Are we following the Shita of Rav or the Shita of Shmuel? And the answer is neither. We're actually just simply, basically going L'Chumra on these two Machloksim. And the Gemara says, and that's a problem. And the Gemara now introduces Chumra Derav De'amar. I'm sorry, first the Gemara spells out everything that we just spelled out. I'll just quickly run through it. Chumra Derav De'amar Tarasuka Mefulash. V'amarav Halacha Ketana Kama. So, Kishmol De'amar Halacha Kechananya. V'amar Shmol Tarasuka Sosom Kirav De'amar Tarasuka Mefulash. Okay, the Gemara just basically went over what we just went over, and that is that on the issue of how to treat this Mavui, we're going to go like Chumra, like Rav. In terms of how to correct it, how to adjust it, we're going to go like Shmuel, and that we're going to require doors. Okay, so now we presented the case, now the problem. The problem is, when we have Dinah Ketrei Chumra, the Gemara says, I don't understand. You cannot follow just Chumras across the board. V'atani, we learned in a Braisa, lo olam halacha kebeis hillel. Now this Braisa, we ended off reading the Braisa yesterday. We're going to now slow down, read the Braisa a little more carefully, and recognize the fact that the Braisa, even as a problem to our discussion, the Braisa in of itself internally is also problematic. So we're going to go through the Braisa, we're going to then address the internal problem of the Braisa, and then after explaining the internal issue with the Braisa, now we're going to relate it to our discussion. So first, let's see the Braisa. We learned in a Braisa, La'olam halacha kebeis hillel. The halacha follows like Beis Hillel, and La'olam means we always follow Beis Hillel. And then the Braisa says, and it's confounding, Harot zelasos kedivrei Beis Shammai osa. Somebody who wants to follow the position of Beis Shammai certainly has the right to do so. Kedivrei Beis Hillel osa. Someone who wants to follow like Beis Hillel can do so as well. Mikula Beis Shammai, Mikula Beis Hillel. Somebody who follows both the leniencies of Beis Shammai and of that of Beis Hillel, Rasha. Such an individual is labeled a Rasha. mechomer beisham and mechomer beisilo, someone following the chomers of both beisham and beisilo. So alava kasav omer, regarding him, the person says, the pasuk says, haksil b'choshech holech. The pasuk in Koheles describes the person as being a fool. He's walking in the dark, foolish individual, just simply following chomers. Ella, ike beishamai kikulehem u kichumrehem. You either follow beishamai consistently, both on his leniencies and on his stringencies, and ike beisilo kikulehem u kichumrehem, or you follow like beisilo, like his leniencies and like his stringencies. Okay, so this is the Braisa. Now, the problem with the Braisa, in terms of how it relates to our sugya, is you can't just simply follow chumras, which is what the Chachmei Narda seem to be doing. Now, we're going to come back around, we're going to circle around that issue, which is why, obviously, the Braisa is brought in. But as long as we're here in the Braisa, so obviously the Braisa in of itself, internally, is confounding, and the Gemara is going to be bothered by that first and foremost. Hagufa Kasha, the Gemara says the Braisa in of itself is difficult. Amar la'olam halacha kebeisilo. You said the halacha is like beisilo. V'hada amart, and then you said afterwards, harotza la'asos kedivrei beishamai osa, that if you want to follow the position beishamai, by all means you have the right to do so. How can the Braisa make those two statements, one right after the other, not realizing that, wait one second, either we're always following like beisilo, period, or you have a right to choose. Well, which one is it? So the Lokasha. So to this, the Gemara now is going to resolve it in three different approaches. Let's start off with approach number one. Lokasha kan kodem baskol, kan la'achar baskol. Approach number one is as follows, and that is that there was a point in time historically where there was an option to go either with the Shita of Beisham and Beis Hillel. And then out came a baskol. Now, when historically this baskol came out, so we do not have an account over here in terms of when this actually happened. The Gemara, a little bit later on in our perek, is going to be, Daf Yigimel, is going to be a little bit more detailed regarding the baskol, but again, historically, I'm not sure when exactly it came out. Anyway, there was a baskol. So what is a baskol? A baskol is a heavenly voice. And now, you're probably thinking at this point in time, L'Bashamayim Hi, that in other words, that as far as the decision of Halach is concerned, that's left to us. That is a great thought. Hold that thought, because the Gemara is going to come back to that in just a moment. In the meantime, however, the way we're resolving the Braisa is that before the Baskol came out, so therefore there was an option of either going with the Shita, Beishamai, Beisilo, and they both are viable positions after the Baskol comes out. So then the Baskol has determined that the Halacha falls like Beisilo, and so therefore we're going to be following the Shita of Beisilo as a result of the Baskol coming out in favor of the Shita of Beisilo, and therefore that's the first line of the Braisa, which is that we always follow the Shita of Beisilo. That's the first approach to understanding the Braisa and the internal discrepancy within the Braisa. This first approach, just in terms of the wording of the Braisa, is admittedly a little bit challenging, because the Braisa is not going in chronological order, meaning if the Braisa was following this approach of Kan Kodem Baskol, Kan La'acher Baskol, so then the Braisa chronologically should have first said that you have an option of choosing, and then the Braisa should have said, oh, and by the way, we always follow like the Shita of Beisilo, because then the Braisa would be faithfully following the chronology as the Gemara has just laid out, that there was a period historically before the Baskol versus a period after the Baskol. Okay, but anyway, but that's fine. In other words, in of itself, that's not the end of the world in terms of the chronology of the Braisa, but that is a way to deal with the Braisa. Now, the most interesting point over here in this first approach of the Gemara is this idea that the Baskol is going to have significant influence on who the Halacha follows like. That because the Baskol came out in favor of the Shita of Beisilo, so therefore we're going to be following the Shita of Beisilo because of the Baskol. And now, if you think about it, in of itself, that is in a standalone point of the Gemara, which in of itself is pretty amazing. And then you compare it to a Gemara in Bava Metzia, perhaps one of the more famous Gemaras in Bava Metzia. And Tosfos does, in fact, compare this Gemara over here to the Gemara in Bava Metzia. And obviously, it presents a significant problem. If you take a look at Tosfos on the bottom of Vav Amud Beis, he writes, and I'm reading, the Im Tomer Maishna de Lokaimalan Kebas called de Rebbe Eliezer de Azav. So we're now looking at a Gemara in Bava Metzia, regarding an incident with Rebbe Eliezer. Tanur de Achnai. So there was an oven over there. The oven was up for debate in terms of whether it's Tamei or Tahor. Complicated issue regarding the oven in of itself. Anyway, for our purposes right now, we just simply need to know that Rebbe Eliezer was on one side of the debate and the Chachamim were on the other side of the debate. And the debate got very heated. And Rebbe Eliezer basically got a backing by a Baskol. A Baskol came out and said that the halachas are Rebbe Eliezer. And to that, the Chachamim said, that's very nice that the Baskol is supporting the Shita of Rebbe Eliezer. Lo b'shamayim hi. It's just simply not within the hands of heaven to determine what the halacha is. So we have over there a Baskol that came out, and the Chachamim's simple dismissal of the Baskol. And so now, obviously, when you put these two Gemara side by side, you realize that there is a tremendous discrepancy that exists between our Gemara over here and the Gemara in Bamitzia, where here we are accepting the Baskol. Over there in the Gemara in Bamitzia, we are rejecting the Baskol. So that presents a significant problem. We're going to see together the first couple approaches of Tosfos. So one approach of Tosfos is that over there, it only came out as a result of the kavod of Rabbi Eliezer, meaning to say that really the truth of the matter is that we're not going to follow a Baskol like our Gemara says over here. The Baskol over there, in the first approach of Tosfos, we are going to be following a Baskol. It just happens to be that that Baskol over there was specific to just give a certain amount of cover to Rabbi Eliezer, meaning the Baskol didn't want to leave Rabbi Eliezer out high and dry. And so not that we're going to follow the Baskol in that particular scenario, but it just was there to give more cover to Rabbi Eliezer. How do we know for what the purpose of the Baskol is, whether it's there to actually indicate what the halacha is versus actually support Rabbi Eliezer? That's a wonderful question, which I'm not going to be able to answer. But that is the first approach of Tosos. In this first approach of Tosos, so let's all understand that Tosos is basically saying we do follow the Baskol, but under certain circumstances, based on the context, we know to ignore the Baskol. But under normal circumstances, again, normal circumstances regarding hearing of a Baskol, I know that's a funny sense. But under normal circumstances, we are going to follow the Baskol. That is the first approach of Tosos. Second approach of Tosos, Va'od, Dehasam Haisa Keneged Rabin, Va'ator Amar Achere Rabin Lahatos. Avahacha Adar Abba Beisil Ahave Ruba, V'lo Hutzrucha Baskol Ela Mishum De Beisham Ahave Cherifet Tvei. The second answer of Tosos goes almost in the diametric opposite direction, which is that normally the Baskol is not going to be doing anything in terms of changing what is the basic structure of halacha, the system of halacha. The system of halacha demands that we're going to be following the rabbim over that of the yachid. And in the case of Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim, Rabbi Eliezer stood alone in his position against the Chachamim. So there, we're not going to listen to the Baskol over there because it goes against the rabbim. So over here, what about Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai? So Tosos says that we're going to be following the Shita of Beis Hillel under the normal system of law, which is Beis Hillel is the rabbim. He is the majority. And therefore, we're going to be following the Shita of Beis Hillel. So why does the Baskol have to come out and support Beis Hillel when he is in fact the rabbim? So the Gemara says, Tosos says, because over here we have the mitigating factor in that the Shita of Beis Shammai is Harifi. They're very wise. They're very intelligent. They're very sharp. And so it has to take into account the fact that, yes, we normally would follow the Rabbin, but on the other hand, we also have to acknowledge the acumen and the wisdom of the Shita of Beis Shammai. And one might have thought that under these circumstances, look, we should really listen to Beis Shammai. And so therefore the Baskol comes out and reinforces that the halacha doesn't in fact follow like Beis Hillel. But the truth of the matter is that we're really following the system of halacha and that we normally follow the rabbim, we follow the majority. That is now going to be, these two answers of Tosfos really do work in two opposite directions in terms of the significance of a Baskol and how much a Baskol should be regarded. The first answer of Tosfos, a Baskol should be significantly regarded, and the case of Rabbi Eliezer is a notable exception. And the second answer of Tosfos, the Baskol normally is disregarded because it does not change the system of halacha. It happens to be that over here a Baskol came out only because of the sharpness of the Shita of Beis Shammai, or the general principles of Beis Shammai. Okay. Anyway, and Tosfos, by the way, there's more to Tosfos over here, and obviously there's a lot more to discuss, but just just to scratch the surface of the topic in terms of whether or not we do or do not follow a Baskol, so this Tosfos over here becomes of principal significance and importance. We are continuing in the Gemara. We are now addressing the question of the following of Chumras staying consistent with one position. So in the Braisa we quoted, we said that a person should always follow the Shita of Beis Hillel, and then the Braisa says, and then you have the right of choosing either like Beis Shammai or like Beis Hillel, which one do we follow? And we have just went over the first approach of the Gemara. One is before the Baskol, where there you're free to choose. And then after the Baskol, we're no longer free to choose, and we follow just the Shita of Beis Hillel. That's one approach. Ibai same as we are now in the bottom of Avamud Beis. Or a second answer is Hava Halach or Baskol. Both are describing after the Baskol. And Rabbi Yoshua, he is following the position of Rabbi Yoshua, Delam Mishkach, the Baskol. The position of Rabbi Yeshua is that we do not follow a Baskol. Now, within the Shita of Rabbi Yeshua, so that means to say that there is simply no room whatsoever to have to follow or to listen to the position, the voice, so to say, of a baskal. And under those circumstances, so the and Rabbi Yeshua, by the way, is brought up in the Gemara in Bamitzia, meaning Rabbi Yeshua is the one who dismisses the baskal, because Rabbi Yeshua says lo b'shamayim, that it's not within HaKadosh Baruch Hu to weigh in anymore on what the halacha is going to be. The halacha is going to simply be following the way that it is viewed and decided here amongst Talmidei Chachamim. And so therefore, the Braisa's second statement is following the Shita of Rabbi Yeshua, which means that the Tanakama's position is not in agreement with Rabbi Yeshua. Now, as far as the Tanakama's position that's not in agreement with Rabbi Yeshua, so the... other way around. According to Rabbi Yeshua... I got confused. I was right. According to the second statement of the Braisa, where you have the right to choose, so that is following like Rabbi Yeshua, which we pay no attention whatsoever. Now, as far as the Chachamim are concerned, the Tanakama that says that we're always going to follow like Beis Hillel, so he is opting to go with the Baskal. And then what you're going to have to do, which we're not going to do right now, is go back to the Tosfos and understand the Tosfos within the context of the Shita of the Chachamim, not the Shita of Rabbi Yeshua. Anyway, let's go on to the third answer of the Gemara. Ibai Semer. The third answer of the Gemara is Hachi Kamar. Kol Hechad Mishkacha Trei Tanai V'Trei Amarai DePliga Adadei Ke'enim Achlokas Beishamai Beisilo Lo La'avi Ki Kula Demar V'Chi Kule Demar V'Lo Kechumrei Demar V'Chi Chumrei Demar Ela I Kuk I Ki Kule Demar Kechumrei Avid I Kekule Demar U'Kechumrei Avid. Or the third way to understand the Braisa is that Beishamai Beisilo are just presented as an example. Meaning, if you find a machlokus between Tanaim or Amoraim, like machloksim that exist between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, so then what we're going to do is they're going to be following either the shita of Beis Shammai or that of Beis Hillel. You're going to either follow the chumras or the kulas of one, or the chumras or kulas of the other. But in other words, but you have to be consistent. You have to follow one shita. The only reason why the Braisa brought down the shitas of Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel is just as an example of groups of factions within the within Chacham Yisrael who are arguing one with the other. But as far as that particular machlokus is concerned, you're going to be you were always going to be following the shita of Beis Hillel, and Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai is just used as a prototypical example. It's a funny example to be given, meaning it's not prototypical, because in that particular example, we're always going to be following like Beis Hillel. But nevertheless, it just happens to be a model example of what it means to have Chachmei Yisrael who are arguing with one another, and under other circumstances, so we're going to pick and choose, but not based on Chumra or Kula, but based on just simply being consistent within a position. Ad Khan, that takes us now to the end of the internal issue with the Braisa. So now the Braisa in of itself has been internally resolved. We now have the Braisa at least understood internally, and now we have to relate it back to our discussion regarding how can the Chachmin and Hardai follow the positions of Rav and Shmuel, both Lechomra. Don't they just simply need to pick either Rav or pick the position of Shmuel and stick with either position, but not simply take and adopt the Chumras of both? The Gemara is now going to respond to that question. So says the Gemara, Mikol Makom Kashem. Now it's still difficult based on what we are discussing. Amar Rav Nachman Bar Yisa, Kule Kerav Avdua. So the Gemara says, no. Over here, I'll tell you why it's not inconsistent and why it is that the Chachmei Narda are, in fact, following a viewpoint, and that is that really they're following the viewpoint of Rav. And Rav said, let's remind ourselves, we are discussing here in the context of our Gemara discussion of a Mavoi Akum. It is a bent Mavoi. Is it to be viewed as Mavoi Mefulish or Mavoi Sosim? So in that regard, we're saying, look, we're going to pass like Rav. And that the way we're viewing it is that it is a Mavoi Mefulish. And therefore, it's going to require a significant adjustment. Now, in terms of how to adjust it, so it's true that Rav says that the halacha is, it doesn't need a major adjustment. It doesn't need doors. It only needs a Lechin Korah on one side, Source of Pesach on the other side. To that, what Chachmin Arda says is that, yeah, we know that Rav said that, but Rav did not want that particular detail to be broadcast. That was not halacha for public consumption. And the Gemara goes on to say, Da'am Rav Huna Amar Rav Halacha Vein Morinkein. Yes, the halacha follows like the Tanakama, that for a Mavui Mefulash, you need only a minor adjustment, but that is not halacha that needs to be broadcast. That, in fact, should be a private that's a private halacha, that's a private psak. Now, I say private, who is that for? Totally unclear. But in other words, but for the masses, the way that Rav would rule for the masses is that a lechin kor on one side and a delis on the other side. That's what Rav said for public consumption. Now the Gemara says, now whether or not Rav meant to say this for private consumption or public consumption is subject itself to a debate. Ula Rav Adabava Amar Rav the Amar Halachu Marin Kain Ma'ik Alameimar. Now it happens to be that the Shita of Rav Adabava is that when Rav said that a Mavi Mufulash only requires an adjustment of Lechin Kor on one side and Surah Pesach on the other side, and that is for public information, that's publicly, that should be publicly broadcast. So now the Chachmin Arda are not following a consistent viewpoint. And so the Gemara says, so how can that be? So Amrav Shizbi, Kilo Abdin Kechumre Debetre, Hecha de Sasri Adade. So now the Gemara is going to be providing us basically a new approach, and that is as follows. Yes, it's true. The Braisa that we started off our morning says that you cannot just simply follow chumras of two shitas, nor could you follow kulas of two positions. And if you're just following the kulas, you're a rasha. And if you're following the chumras, you are a ksil, you're a fool. All that's true, but only when the positions that you are following are being sosa one another, when they're crossing one another. Meaning that what is the svara that is behind these rulings are in fact now going to actually be contradictory one to the other. Under those circumstances, you cannot follow just the chumras of one or the kulas of the other. When they're sosar ahadadi, when they contradict one another. And the Gemara is going to give a couple of examples of when that's in fact so. However, if we're following the halachas of one Tana or one Amora, and in another case, like another Tana, another Amora, but the halachas are not contradicting one another, so then you can follow chumras of both positions. And the Gemara is assuming right now, and this in this approach, that the question of whether or not it's a Mavui Sas or Mavui Mufulash is not necessarily running against the question of how to correct it. So the question number one of how to view it, whether we view it like a Mavui Sas or Mufulash, so in that regard, we're going to follow like Rav, and that we're going to be viewing it like a Mavui Mufulash. In terms of how to correct it, how to adjust it, so it could very well be that if we asked Rav, if he would have said just Surah Sapesach. But over here, we're going to follow like Shmuel. The position of Shmuel is not running in contradiction to the Shita of Rav in terms of how to view it. These two issues are totally separate issues, and so therefore it does not run against the Braisa. The Braisa would not be offended by the Chumra of Rav and the Chumra of Shmuel in this particular case. What's an example where they run contradictory one to another? The Gemara here gives a couple of examples. Hecha de Sasri Adade, Kagon Shejav Gugolos Didnan. So one example of where halachas run contradictory to one another, and you can't just simply follow the chumras in both or the kulas of both, would be, let's say, for example, the following. Shejav Gugol Shechasru. Let's say I have a skull. Or, I'm sorry, let me go in correct order. Let's say I have the spine or the skull that is missing. Now, in order to appreciate this, so let's go over a halacha that we just said over a couple days ago here in Erevin, and that is we're talking about bones of human remains and the tumah that comes off of the bone. We learned earlier in our perek that when you have etzem kisaora, when you have a bone chip, just simply the size of a grain of barley, so then it's going to give off tumah. What kind of tumah? Maga umasa, contact and carrying. However, when you have significant bone structure, so then it's going to be metame be'ohel. Now, when we say significant, what do we mean by that? So what we mean is shedra v'gugolos. If I have the spine and the skull of a human remains, so then it's going to give off tumas ohel. However, if it's chaser, if it's missing, so then it's no longer going to give off tumas ohel, and it's just going to give off tumas magan masa. How much do we say is chaser? What do we say by how much has to be missing? V'kama chisar b'shedra. Machlok is between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. We're learning now the Mishnah. Beis Shammai omrim shtei chulios. Beis Shammai says two vertebrae of the spine have to be missing in order for it to be chaser, so to no longer give off to Masohel. Beis Hillel omrim chulia achas. And according to the Shita of Beis Hillel, it's just simply one vertebrae. Uvil gugolos. Now when it comes to the skull, Beis Shammai omrim kimla metach. Beis Shammai says it's just simply the drill. It's the amount of a drill bit, meaning a hole created by a drill. Beis Hillel omrim kidei shinata menachai. And according to the Shita of Beis Hillel, the amount that is taken off of a person who is alive, who would no longer be alive, if that much was taken off. He does not give an actual amount. It is basically the area of a sella, of that of a coin, says Rashi. But anyway, it is a significantly larger amount. So we have over here a machlokes between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel in terms of Tumas Ohel. How much needs to be removed from either the skull or the vertebrae so that there is no longer going to be Tumas Ohel given off. And it comes out now that the Shita of Beis Hillel is going to be more makel, meaning that both in the case of the Shedra, so Beis Hillel says that it has to be one bone to be removed, meaning so that all I do is take away one vertebrae and now it no longer gives Tumas Ohal. That's a more lenient position vis-a-vis Tumas Meis. Also regarding the hole within the skull. So Beis Hillel says the amount that's taken off from a chai in order to be removed. Here, I take it back. Here, his size is going to be a larger size, so that means more has to be taken off in order for it to be subject to, in order for the Tumas Ohal to be removed. Okay, either way, now, here is where we're going to have a contradictory, a contradiction within Psak. And that is Amar Rav Yehuda Marav. V'chein le'inyan treifa, the same thing is true regarding an animal and the determination of whether the animal is a treifa or not. We know that when an animal has gone through a chisaron, a deficiency in the body, meaning that there's a hole in one of the internal organs, so then the animal is rendered a treifa and no one's allowed to eat the animal. Regarding the vertebrae and the skull of the animal, at what point is it going to be a treifa? So whatever the shiurim were that we had regarding Tumas Ohal that we just went through, Bisham and Beis Hillel, so we're going to have the same shiurim as it relates to an animal, vis-a-vis when it is going to be treifa or not going to be treifa. So here now we have a perfect example of where they're soser adadi, where they're going to be contradictory to one another. Meaning, when it comes to Tumas Ohal, so if I'm going l'chumra, and I'm saying that, let's say, for example, in the case of the vertebrae in the spine, so if I'm going to be going l'chumra, that means to say that I'm going to be machmir and say that in order for this, for the remains over here, for the spine, to no longer give off Tumas Ohal, so you're going to, once you take off one vertebrae, or let's say to be machmir, two vertebrae, in order for it no longer to be subject to Tumas Ohal. So now if I take that and now go to the question of Treifa, and I paskin l'chumra, so what's chumra going to be over there? To take off one vertebrae. So in other words, so we're going to be machmir in the case of Tumas Ohal, we're going to be machmir in the case of Treifa, but now in order to do that, now you're going to have to be inconsistent. This is a terrible inconsistency that the Brisa was describing, because over here, you're not following one train of thought. Meaning that over here, regarding what is removing Tumas Ohal and what is rendering the animal treifa, so if you subscribe to two vertebrae, it's because you're of the belief that two vertebrae and only two vertebrae is what is going to take away the person's life. As opposed to if you hold one vertebrae, it's only one vertebrae in both cases, l'chumra and l'kula. So what you need to do is you need to be consistent over here. That inconsistency is what the Brisa was running against and was saying that is either being a Rasha or being exil, or being foolish. The Hecha de Sasri Hadadi, the Gemara continues, and the Gemara says, fine. I'm sorry, let me just finish reading of Hecha de Lo Sasri Hadadi of Dinam. But if the two Psakim are not running counter one to another, if they're not contradicting one another, so then that would be fine, that would be acceptable. The Gemara says, really, is that true? The Hecha de Sasri Hadadi Lo of Dinam, you mean to tell me that when the two Psakim are not contradicting one another, so that is, you will never find that? Sorry, when the two psakim are contradicting one another, so you're never going to find that. Must have Rebbe Misharsha. The Gemara says, okay, but I'm going to go and cite you an actual case, which is Maisa Rebbe Akiva Shaliket Esrog Be'echa B'Shvat. There was an incident with Rebbe Akiva who took an Esrog on the first day of Shvat, and V'niyeg Bo Shnei Isurim, and he held by two Meisers, Meiser Sheni and Meiser Ani. So over here, just a crash course, we've gone over this numerous times, and that is that we know that within the Shemitah cycle, so in years 1, 2, 4, and 5, so the second Meiser that you're taking off is going to be Meiser Sheni. In year 3 and 6, the second Meiser that you're going to take off is going to be Meiser Ani. I'm going to give a lot of information in a short amount of time, but this is just an ancillary point to the Gemara. Anyway, what comes out over here is that when we go from year 2 to year 3, so year 2 would be Meiser Sheni, year 3 would be Meiser Ani. As relates to a fruit that comes off of a tree, so what is going to be the determinant of whether it's in year 2 or year 3? So Machlok is between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. One is Rosh Hashanah le'ilanos, so we all assume, of course, it's Tu B'Shvat. And we're right, mostly, in that the Shita of Beis Hillel says that the 15th of Shvat is going to be the new year as it relates to trees. So that means to say that anything picked off the tree before Tu B'Shvat is going to be of the previous year. Anything picked off the tree after Tu B'Shvat is going to be now for the upcoming year. And so that means to say that whether or not it's Meiser Sheni or Meiser Ani is going to be dependent on whether it was picked off before or after Tu B'Shvat. But that's according to the Shita of Beis Hillel. Beis Shammai is of the opinion that Rosh Hashanah le'ilanos is the first day of Shvat. This is all as per the first Mishnah in Rosh Hashanah. And that means to say that according to Beis Shammai, everything we just said, but the date of significance is going to be the first day of Shvat. What happened was is that Rabbi Akiva picked a esrog off of a tree, some at a point where we were going from the second to the third year, and was unsure whether or not to take off Maaser Sheni or Maaser Ani. What did he do? He did both. He took off Maaser Sheni and Maaser Ani. So, Echa Kedivrei Beis Shammai, Echa Kedivrei Beis Hillel. So both following the positions of Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. So over here, obviously, these are a psak offered by Rabbi Kiva, which is obviously being soser adadi, meaning you got to choose either like Beis Shammai or like Beis Hillel. You can't go like both over here, because obviously Beis Hillel is of the position that it's only from the 15th and onward, which is the beginning of the new year regarding fruit of the tree. And Beis Shammai says, no, it's the first day of Shvat. And you can't just simply take on the chumras of both. That is what the Brisa is railing against. And the Gemara says, I can't imagine that Rabbi Kiva is just simply going against the Brisa. So Rabbi Kiva, Gemara istafik le, v'lo yada I Beis Hillel, b'chaz v'shvat amor, I b'cha meser b'shvat amor, ha'chalachumra, v'avad ha'chalachumra, v'ha'chalachumra. To which the Gemara responds that as far as Rabbi Kiva is concerned, he just simply did not have a correct Mesorah. Meaning he knew that it was a machlokes between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. He knew that Beis Hillel says that one of those dates were significant. He just didn't have a Mesorah in terms of which of those dates were significant. Was it the first of Shvat? Was it the 15th of Shvat? What comes out over here is that that Rabbi Kiva wasn't being inconsistent in his psak. He just simply lacked the information necessary in order to arrive at a good psak. Meaning, if he knew for a fact that Beis Hillel was saying the 15th of Shvat being the Rosh Hashanah Li'ilanos, so then obviously he would have taken off only one Meiser. He wouldn't have taken off both Meisers. But over here, because of his lack of knowledge, therefore he followed both. The Gemara now has concluded its discussion regarding the fact that the Chachmin Arhada had a Mavoi Akum, where on one hand they passing like Rav, which is the Mavoi Mefulish, on the other hand they passing like Shmuel, in that the way to adjust it is through a Lechin Kor on one side and a Delis on the other side. And so aren't they following two different Psakim? So the Gemara in the first half of today's shir went over what seems to be the inconsistency within the Chachmei Nahada, seemingly going against the Brisa. The Brisa says you can't just simply follow the Chumras of one, or the Chumras of an assortment of Chachamim, or the Kulas of an assortment of Chachamim, but you must pick and be consistent with that one position. And how is it that Chachmei Nahada seems to be going against the Brisa? So the Gemara gave, when all said and done, four different within the inconsistency in the Brisa in of itself, the Gemara gave three approaches of how to deal with the inconsistency within the Brisa. In terms of the overall general view of how Chachmei Nahada are not going against it, so the Gemara gave basically two approaches. And that is, number one, is that they were basically effectively following the Shita of Rav, in that Rav was of the position that you're viewing it as a Mavli and a Foolish, and Rav says that you have to use a door in order to adjust it. Rav said that you only have to use it through a Pesach. That was Rav's position, not for public consumption. That is one approach. Second approach is that no, that really they were following the Chumras of Rav and the Chumras of Shmuel. The reason why it's not going against the Brisa is because the only time the Brisa was railing against just simply going the Chumra is when the Chumras are being soser ahadade, when they're contradicting one another, like in the case of the Tumas Mace and the Trefa. We continue now in the Gemara, we're in Zayin Amud Aleph, and we are about halfway down at the two dots, and the Gemara now is going to go back to the topic of Erevin, and we get involved in a somewhat complicated Erevin matter, specifically a Mavli matter. Yosef Rav Yosef Vikameh de Rav Huna V'Yosef Vikamer. I'm Rav Yehuda Merav. So Rav Yosef is sitting in front of Rav Huna, and now he's quoting Rav Yehuda Merav. And that is Machlokas, Bisracha, Mikan, Bisracha, Mikan. The entire debate that takes place between the Tanakam and the Chananya, when I have my Mavui Mefulash opened up one side to a Rishus HaRabim and another side to a Rishus HaRabim. The Gemara's usage of the word Sratya is just a way of describing a Rishus HaRabim. So if I have Rishus HaRabim on one side, Rishus HaRabim on the other, that's a Machlokas. U Placha Mikan, or another form of Rishus HaRabim, otherwise known as a Placha. The Gemara used these terminologies back in Shabbos, happened to have been Shabbos Davav, right? The two times where the Gemara discusses a Rishus HaRabim is in Masechta Shabbos, Masechta Erevin, in of itself, that of course makes sense. In Shabbos, it's on Dav Vav, and in Erevin, also it's on Dav Vav. It's going to be a little bit easier to remember. Dav Vav in both Masechtas. But anyway, the Sracha and Placha are two different examples of Rishus HaRabim, and to that, the Gemara says that's when there's a machlokus between the Tanakama and Chananya in terms of how to adjust it, how to adjust our Mavli Mefulash. If, however, let's say the Mavui opens up on one side to a Rishus Rabim, and on the other side it opens up to a Bika. Literally, it's a valley. Let's assume right now, Rashi says this, let's assume that the Bika over here is a Carmelis. So then, under those circumstances, all I need to do is a Tzuras HaPesach on one side, a Lechin Kor on the other side, and that's all I need. Meaning that the only time that there's a debate in terms of the major adjustment of having a Lechin Kor on one side and doors on the other side, at least according to the Shita of Chananya, is only when it's open to a Rishus HaRabim on both sides. If, however, it is not opened up to a Rishus HaRabim on both sides, and one of them is opened up, on one of the sides is opened up into a Karmelis, so then everyone's in agreement that I only need a Lechi Kor on one side and a Tzuras HaPesach on the other side. Now, over here, the way that this halacha was presented is just a little bit confusing, because Hashta Sracha Mikan Vika Mikan. So Osa Lo Tzuras HaPesach Mikan V'Lechi Kor Mikan. Now, the Braisa gave us two examples. One is where it was opened up to a Rishus HaRabim on one side and a Karmelis on the other side, where there you don't have to make a major adjustment. A Tzuras HaPesach would be sufficient. So Bika Mikan or Bika Mikan Mibaye. And then he said, oh, and by the way, if there's a Karmelis on one side and a Karmelis on the other side, also you don't need a major correction. The Gemara says, wait 1 second, I knew that already. So if you don't need a major correction when I have a Rishus HaRabim on one side, so certainly if I have a Rishus HaRabim on neither side and it's just a Karmelis on both sides, for sure I don't need a major correction. The Gemara says, at this point in time, like, what was that follow-up statement? So Hachi Kamar. So the Gemara says, okay, this is what Rav meant, meaning this was Rav Yehuda quoting Rav, this is what Rav meant. Sracha Mikan Ubika Mikan, that when I have my Mavui Mefulash, where on one side it opens up into Rishus HaRabim, on the other side it opens up into Karmelis, Nase Kibika Mikan Ubika Mikan. It would be just the same as if it would be opened up to a Karmelis on one side and a Karmelis on the other side, where I don't need to make a major correction. Now, Rav Yosef was quoting this statement to Rav Yehuda Marav. Okay, good. So this first halacha that he said over is easy, relatively. In other words, it's a pretty straightforward halacha, that the only time that there's any debate about the major adjustment of putting a door on one side of the Mavui Mefulash is only when it's opened up to Rishus HaRabim on both sides. If it's only opened up to a Rishus HaRabim on one side, and on the other side it's a Bika, so then I don't need the major adjustment. Okay, that was all said in the name of Rav Yehuda, in the name of Rav. Then Rav Yosef says, now I'm going to quote something just in the name of Rav Yehuda, and it's unclear as to who Rav Yehuda learned it from. Now, first let's learn the halacha, and that is, Im haya mavui, kalat lerechla. Let's say the Mavui opens up on one side. On one side, the Mavui was opened up into Rishus HaRabim. And on the other side, it opened up into a Rachva. A Rachva is basically another opening. Another enclosure. You could take a look at Rashi over here. Rashi over here has a schematic of what we're basically looking at over here. We're gonna look together. I know in an audio format that's going to be a little bit challenging, but we're going to look together at the case in more detail in just a moment. So when the Mavui is opened up into a Rachva, I'm just going to first read the halacha, Ein Tzarech Klum, so then there's not going to be any special adjustment that necessary, meaning that we could treat this Mavui like a regular Mavui. A regular Mavui where all I need is a Lechi or a Korah on the opening to the side of the Rishus HaRabim, and that would be sufficient. Because the back end of the Mavui is opening up into this Rachva, into this enclosure area. Okay, now, this is a statement made by Rav Yehuda. Rav Yosef is quoting it. Now, what we don't know at this point in time, first of all, we don't know the why. Okay, well, that obviously needs clarification. And aside from not knowing the why, we don't know whether Rav Yehuda received this as a halacha from Rav or that of Shmuel. We say this throughout Shas. Rav Yehuda, over the course of his learning, had two Rebbeim. He learned by Rav and he learned by Shmuel. And very often, by the way, when learning with each of the Amoraim, so he would be quoting the other Amora. This is what Rav said. He said in front of Shmuel. And Shmuel then gauged whether or not he would agree or not agree. But anyway, Rav Yehuda himself was learning both by Rav and both and under Shmuel. And so over here, when making the statement regarding the Mavui, that where one side opens up into the Srachva, into this enclosed area, so whether or not he's saying this B'Shem Rav or saying that B'Shem Shmuel, the Gemara now is going to be spending the remainder of today's daf going over whether or not this was a statement made by Rav or that of Shmuel. And the Gemara is going to note that it's going to be very difficult to imagine that he learned this from Rav. Amar le Abaye le Rav Yosef. So when Abaye now hears this from Rav Yosef, he says to Rav Yosef, Had Rav Yehuda, Dishmuel he. The fact that Rav Yehuda said this He did not say that's b'shem Rav, but he said b'shem Shmuel. There's no way he could have said it b'shem Rav. Why not? Because the Rav, as we turn now to the Amud Beis, because if we're saying it b'shem Rav, kasher the Rav b'tarte. So it's going to be difficult based on two premises. The Gemara goes through what these two premises are. Damar Rav Yirmiya bar Abba Amar Rav. Here we're going to be dealing with a scenario which is pretty much analogous to what we just dealt with. And that is the Mavu is opening up into a Chatzar. In the way Rav Yehuda was presenting it, it was opened up into a Rachva, but it's basically the same idea in that basically the Mavu is opening up into an enclosure. Again, on one end, the Mavu certainly opened up into a Rishos Rabim. On the other side, the Mavu is opened up into an enclosure. And under those circumstances, Mavu Shenifrats Mamlo L'Chatzar. So, v'nifritz the chatzir kenegdal, and on the other side of the chatzir, it opens up into another rishus harabim, chatzir muteris mavui aser. You can carry within the chatzir, but you cannot carry within the mavui. Okay, now let us pause to take a moment now, and let us try to, together, and I know this is going to be hard over the medium of just the voice and the audio, but let's for a moment now put ourselves in the perspective of this mavui. Okay, and what I'm going to do right now is I'm going to have a stand in the Mavui. And from standing within the Mavui, let's look now in each direction. First, let's look towards the Rishos HaRabim. That's pretty straightforward, meaning like a standard Mavui. Meaning the entire opening of this Mavui opens up into a Rishos HaRabim. And so from that perspective, it's going to look pretty similar. Now, let's look in the other direction. Let's look towards the Chatzar. So this Mavui opens up into a Chatzar, which means that the Mavui opens up into a Rishos HaYachid. Now, in order to picture this, it would be so helpful if you had anything that would help you give you a picture. But basically what the Mavui is opened up into a Chatzar, so that looking from the perspective of the Mavui, so you don't really see the Chatzar. And now I'm sure in terms of the back walls of the Chatzar, you see it. But basically the Mavui opens up entirely into the Chatzar. And that means to say that the Chatzar is wider than the Mavui. And that from the perspective of the Chatzar, if you were to stand in the Chatzar, you would feel and you would sense the enclosure around you. Meaning you had the walls all around, obviously, openings opened up into the Mavui and opened up into the Rishos HaRabim. But the Chatzar in of itself is enclosed all around. But I'm not looking from the perspective of being in the Chatzar. I'm looking at it strictly from the perspective of being in the Mavui. So when I'm in the Mavui and I'm looking now in the direction of the Chatzar, what do I really see? So again, I'm sure I see some of the wall, of the back wall of the Chatzar. But really what I see is basically an alleyway that takes me out into the Rishos HaRabim. Okay? And so basically now when I'm standing in the Mavui, I'm looking now in one direction to Rishos HaRabim, the other direction I'm also looking into the Rishos HaRabim. Now, under those circumstances, so what Rav Yirmiya is saying in the name of Rav is that when I have a Mavui that's opened up entirely into the Chatzar, like we just described, so to carry in the Chatzar in of itself is no problem because the Chatzar has four walls and therefore it's a Rishos HaYachid. However, carrying in the Mavui is going to be usher, it's going to be prohibited. Now, over here, let us take a look together at Rashi. Now, I'm going to go through this a little bit on the quicker side, and tomorrow we'll spend some more time going through it. But Rashi writes over here, Mavui aser, kasaka dachem, in the neck of nifritz achatzah kenegdo, mishum demechse, ke mavui mefula. So as I just got done describing, so when you're standing in the Mavui, it looks like a Mavui mefula. It looks like it's open on both ends. And ka aser le v'la mishum denifritz achatzah. It's not because, right, Rashi is explaining right now the havamina. It's not because it's opened into a chatzah, but because of the perspective of when you're standing in the Mavui and you're looking in each direction, you're basically going into a Mavui, you're basically looking at Rishos HaRabim in both sides. Rav Yehuda min denaka rachva ashmina and demishum mefula shlo mitzar. Now, as far as Rav Yehuda is concerned, now he presented basically the same halacha. Now, when presenting the same halacha, he used a rachva, which is, again, an enclosure area. So, and as a result of the fact that it's mefulash, so that didn't bother Rav Yehuda. Now, it happens to be that in the Rachva enclosure that was described by Rav Yehuda, there's no people living in the Rachva. Meaning, physically, it's an enclosure, but it doesn't have people living in there. So, now, had it been open to a chaser, it would have been aser. And later, meaning when we go further in this discussion, we'll make a distinction between the Rachva and the Chatzar. But meanwhile, Rashi says, as far as the Havamin is concerned, this is why we think it's difficult on Rav on two points. Number one, Imishum Mefulash, Imishum HaNifratz HaChatzar, V'Asur Allah B'nei Chatzar, D'Nifratz HaMavui, B'Meloa L'Rishus HaAsur Allah. Number one, says Rashi, because it's Mefulash, meaning it's just simply opening up on both sides into a Rishus HaRabim. Meaning that on one side it opens up directly into Rishos HaRabim, on the other side it doesn't open up directly into Rishos HaRabim, but at least from the perspective of being in the Mavui, it seems like it is opened up into the other Rishos HaRabim. So in that regard, now it's difficult because Rav Yehuda was saying that under those circumstances, it doesn't require any adjustment whatsoever. Meanwhile, Rav says over here that when it opens up into a chatzir, it does need an adjustment. He says that you're not allowed to carry within the mavui without any kind of significant adjustment. So in that regard, it's going to be a problem. It's also going to be a problem, says Rashi, because if you note, the case of Rav Yehuda was the case where it opens up into a rachva. Seemingly, that means to say that if it would open up into a chatzir, so it would be distinctive. Meanwhile, when the Gemara quotes Rav Yirmiyah in the name of Rav, doesn't seem like there's going to be any kind of significant difference. And so in that regard, also, it's going to be difficult. So therefore, when Rav Yehuda made the statement that I had my mavui, where on one side opened up into the Rishus Rabim, on the other side it opened up into a Rachva, and he says that this mavui does not require any adjustment whatsoever, so presumably he learned it from Shmuel, and he did not learn it from Rav. Now, at this point in time, we're going to pause, because Gemara is going to address this issue, and really it's going to take us well into tomorrow's daf. And so this is a good place to pause. And tomorrow we'll set ourselves up again, and we'll go all through the Gemara's various approaches in terms of how it's possible that Rav Yehuda actually did hear this from Rav, and there's a distinction to be made. We'll go over that in tomorrow's daf. In the meantime, however, let's quickly review. We started off this morning with, again, the Mavui of Nahada. It was a Mavui Akum. It was a bent Mavui. And how to view it like a Mavui Mefulsh or a Mavui Sassum. So the Chachmi Narda viewed it like a Mavui Mefulsh, that like that of the position of Rav. Then in terms of how to adjust it, so they followed the Chumr of Shmuel, which is that they required a door in terms of adjusting it, because we followed like the position of Shmuel, says Chachmi Narda. The Gemara spent the first half of today's daf going over the fact that Chachmi Narda was paskening, and seemingly in an inconsistent fashion. In that, in one hand, they paskin like Rav in terms of how to view it, and in terms of how to adjust it, they paskin like Shmuel, which required more significant adjustment. How can they do that? And that bothers the Braisa. The Braisa that we started with on the bottom of Vavam and Beis, that went to the top of Zayin Amud Aleph. So, well, actually, the entire Braisa was quoted on Vavam and Beis, says that when you're following Piskei Halacha, so you're either going to be following the Shita of one viewpoint, or the Shita of another viewpoint, but do not just simply pick the Chumras of both, and do not pick the Kulas of both. Picking the Chumras of both is foolish. Picking the Kulas of both is Rishus. And so the Braisa says that is something that you're not allowed to do. Now, the Braisa internally was difficult because the Braisa says that you can pick either Beis Shammai, you can pick Beis Hillel, but you got to be consistent. And then the Braisa also said, and by the way, you always follow like Beis Hillel. So how does that work out? So the Gemara gave three different approaches of how to understand the Braisa internally. After going through that, then the Gemara says, okay, now that we understand, how could the Chachmi Narda follow the Chumras of Rav and Shmuel? The Gemara gave one of two approaches. One approach is that really Chachmi Narda were found like Rav. Rav really says that in terms of how to view the Mavui Akum, it is a Mavui Mefulash. In terms of how to adjust it, what he would tell the masses is use the door. Privately, he said that the Halacha is like the Shita of the Tanakama, where I only needed Surah Sapasach. But that was for private consumption. That was not for public consumption. Publicly, he would say you need a door. That's one approach. The Gemara says, and if you happen to be of the position, which some Amoraim are, is that that when Rav Paskin, that it requires only Tzuras HaPesach, that was for public broadcast. So then how is this not offensive? How is Chachmin Nardan not just simply following Chumras? And the answer is that following Chumras only becomes an issue when they're a Sasri Ahadade, when the two Chumras are contradicting one another, when the logic of one goes against the logic of the other. And that's when it's going to be a problem. Like the case of Shejev Gugolos, where the logic of one is going to go against the logic of the other, that's either going to be foolish or rishus. If, however, you're passing in one area halacha like one, another area halacha like another, and the logic patterns are not contradicting one another, that would be acceptable. That would be fine. And over here, to paskin like Rav regarding how to view the Mavli, and in terms of how to adjust it, paskin like Shmuel, that is not going to be that's not going to be Soser Adade. That's not contradicting. That is the Gemara's general approach in terms of how to understand Chachmi Narda. That was the first half of today's daf. Second half of today's daf dealt with a Mavli, which is Mefulash. It is open. One end opens up to Rishus Rabim, which that's always the case, and the other end opens into an enclosure. It opens up into a rachva or into a chatzer. So the Gemara first quoted the statement of Rav Yehuda that says that if it opens up into a Rachva. So Rav Yehuda says that under those circumstances, it's good. You don't need a special adjustment for the mavui. You treat it like a regular mavui, which is a korat lechi, on the side opening up into the Rishus HaRabim, and that's it. It does not require a special adjustment. And the Gemara now has started its discussion, and we will continue the discussion. This statement of Rav Yehuda, is it conformed to Rav, or does it not conform to Rav? One of Rav Yehuda's Rebbeim was Rav, and the other one was Shmuel, and seemingly this does not conform to the Shita of Rav. Why? Because Rav says, and we saw it on the top of the Amud Beis, that when I have a mavui where one side opens up into a Rishus HaRabim and the other side opens up into a Chatzir, so Rav says under those circumstances you cannot carry within the mavui without a special adjustment made to the mavui. But in of itself you cannot carry within the mavui. This seemingly is going against the Shita of Rav Yehuda, and so therefore right now what the Gemara thinks is that Rav Yehuda, when making the statement, was not in conformity to the Shita of Rav, but rather that of Shmuel. We don't have a statement by Shmuel, but seemingly it's not going like Rav, and the Gemara is going to propose in tomorrow's daf, starting really in the midpoint of today's Amud Beis, is that no, maybe the two can actually be synthesized one with the other, and we will see that tomorrow.